Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Final hour In This League. Live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh on Twitter, at IsItTheWelsh and at Bogman Sports. Find us over at InThisLeague.com and, of course, Patreon.com/ITL Army. We've got the ranks. I think prospect rank should be up, essentially, when you guys are hearing this. The new baseball rank should be up. We have got GroupMe rooms, which you can have some access to us. We've got secret shows and a little teaser for you. I guess we can say it here. We got a secret show that is going to be airing. I think we're pushing it just a lot. Usually we do the 1st and 15th. This might be the 5th and the 20th this time. But we're doing an uncensored live mock draft, which,
yeah,
if people listen to our mock drafts, they know how insane that is. Joining us on the episode, Mr. Paul Spohr. Uncensored Paul Spohr.
Uncensored Paul Spohr. Thank Christ. I can actually enjoy a Paul Spohr episode instead of getting sweaty.
Even when we have him on, I mean,
I'll be sweaty because I'm fat.
We get all of it out of him. We'll talk crap about people. I love it. I love it. So Paul will be on with us to do that. And then, I mean, Paul just can't get enough of us. Next week, you and I, we're going to be on Sleeper on the Bus. So if people want to listen.
Yeah, we'll ruin that real quick.
Real quick. So we got Paul. Oh God, we'll all be together on Saturday. And then I think later Monday, we'll be on with Justin Mason and Paul Spohr. And I think we'll be kind of be doing a player debate. I don't know exactly if they're going to stick with that. I mean, that's their call. We might be doing a player debate centric episode, kind of like in honor of our book. And another thing, Monday, we're going to a baseball game. You can. I don't know what's being televised, but if you happen to be out and seeing some White Sox versus the Angels, that's where we're going to be. And we're going to be first baseline on the Angels side. So
that's right.
Yeah, we're going to be rocking that. I'm excited. I hope we don't get the garbage team where it's like the Angels, you know, hitting three, Cole Calhoun. And, you know, the White Sox have, you know, Mick Rodolfo. Like, I hope it's not
when
that.
When they're doing that stuff, we'd be lucky to, like, Cole Calhoun would be the best guy in the lineup.
I know. I'm hoping because it's like a Monday. Usually like Sundays are going to kind of give those guys more of the day off. And then Monday, we're going to get the A squad. We're going to get the Trout. We're going to get the Upton, all that stuff.
Yeah. Hoping fingers crossed. Let's
hoping
go.
Hoping for some Joe Adell too. And on the White Sox side, you know, they're not right. They didn't get Machado and they're not like ripe with talent, but I mean, Eloy and Yoan Moncada and Jose Abreu and all those dudes, you know, they're out there. And the SE player, according to Deadspin, John Jay.
All them boys.
So we do. Okay. I'm going to give you two options. Do we want to have any reference to the fast food or do we want to get right into the robots?
You know, let's just talk robots here. You know what I'm really interested to hear is what
Alex Jones. Let me tell you something, Bogman. The robots. See, here's what they're doing. They don't want you to know that there are already the symbiotic humanoids that are already in baseball. There, I have it on proper authority. I can't tell you what it's super top secret, but I can tell you, I can promise you, I have this information. There are already 3% of baseball players that are android humanoid hybrids in baseball. You don't think baseball wants to have robot umps? They're going to have them because they're already playing baseball. Sorry. It's the last time I'm going to do that on the show, I swear to God.
Well, they are apparently going to have, the Independent League is going to test out the robot umpires this season. And
The umps should be shaking in their boots. They should be, because you know what? Be better. Do better. Stop making it all about you. I don't even care so much about the guys that will make kind of the whiffy waffy calls. I don't particularly like if they make a really bad call, then maybe they'll kind of like make it up or something like that. That's annoying. What's the worst though? The worst. And you can get past it because sometimes human error is, you know, it's just part of the game.
It's part.
I don't want the umps that make the game all about themselves. One player argues
that the other
one
day in the NBA, PJ Tucker, and even this is how I know I was right to be upset about this call, was PJ Tucker got tossed from a game, and the NBA subreddit defended a Rocket.
Oh,
like there's nothing more that the than hateful, you know, post about the Rockets and James Harden, and I just can't watch the way he plays. All he does is get to the foul line, blah 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 blah. You know, but when they're sitting there complimenting, or not complimenting, but crapping on Tony Brothers because he ran PJ Tucker out because PJ Tucker had a crappy call on him, or he thought maybe it was a foul, maybe it wasn't, but he was just complaining to the ref a little bit. Maybe he said something wildly inappropriate, but everyone, like James Harden, reacted to him getting tossed out and everything. And I think if he would have said something over the line and got tossed, everyone that was standing there would have been like, well, you can't say that, you know?
Yeah.
But they were losing their mind, and Tony Brothers, you know, he tosses people all the time because people pay their money to come see Tony Brothers, right? They don't come to watch the basketball game. And that's what all of, like, the MLB is known for, these guys like Joe West and Angel Hernandez and all these guys.
I hate it. I don't mind. I don't mind umps having a personality. I like being able to, like, you know, have a reference, and I enjoy personality across the board, even if they're umps or refs or whatever. But what I don't like is when they make it all about themselves. A guy complains about one thing and they immediately toss him, and the guy's like, what the hell? Like, the amount of times we've had umps, that the hard-o umps that come in there, they ruin the game. They literally altered the game by a guy saying one thing, and then they just, boom, you're done. Or, you know, the other stuff that I hate is this whole, like, you know, haven't earned the call type of thing for younger players. Get out of here. What are you talking about?
Just have the right call for
Get
everybody.
The robots in here. We don't need you. If you can't do your job, be the Fox News, please. Can you be fair and balanced? No, you're not. You are living more of the Fox. You are not fair and balanced as umpires.
Fox News is like the umpires now.
I didn't know where to go with the joke. I either had to say you need to be Fox News or make a joke about them saying they're fair and balanced. I think that's umps. They think they're fair and balanced. They're not. And it's, I mean, baseball is also not, with all the, you know, the unwritten rules and all this bull crap that they have. But at the same time, it shouldn't be that with umps. You shouldn't have to earn calls over time. If a guy says something, I mean, obviously you can't have guys being disrespectful or anything like that, but be able to control the game in a professional manner. And the amount of bad calls and bad umps we've had over the last 10 years, no wonder. Be better at your job, or guess what? This is the age we live in. If you're not better at your job, they're going to get cyborgs to do it.
I mean, that's so true. I mean, look at Amazon and all that stuff.
What job isn't? At this point, what job isn't having, every job out there is exploring it, you know, whether it's the catering jobs, and look at GM and Tesla. They're out, what they are literally doing right now. GM.
Well, yeah, I know Tesla is, they're taking all their stores out and they're going to just sell cars online, right?
Well, yeah, they're just doing, well, they have a new Model 3, their new Tesla, $35,000, cheapest Tesla yet, and it's all online. That's the only way that they're doing it. But GM, General Motors, is completely changing their entire strategy. They are literally banking everything on autonomous vehicles. That is where they are going to go. They're working on the satellite technology with it, and the cars to be programmed to have the autonomous ability, which then they're going to end up selling to companies. At some point, courier type of jobs are going to become obsolete. I mean, Google right now, they've already got the automated cars. There's a person just to sit in there and monitor, unless something horrible happens like it's happened before. But we are like 10 years away. So obviously everybody wants innovation, and technology is going to help in all innovation. While at the same time, though, there are places that it doesn't seem like it would be possible or needed. But when your hand is forced, that's what's going to happen. You know, I mean, like, money in football, you know, we want more games, but also they keep putting money into new graphics and technology to add to the game because they have to grow it. Baseball's problem is they're not looking forward. Football is already, even if it's a good or bad decision, by the way, they'll do, like, you know, here's the green zone, and here's, you know, they're fading out colors and they're putting lines on the field like video games. They're moving forward with technology. Baseball is sitting here trying to figure out how can we use technology to fix the problems that we have instead of being forward thinking? And that's ultimately where we're sitting at. And we have to focus on robot umps instead of getting it going.
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at this article, and the Atlantic League is going to test the robot umpires first. And it's, I believe it's only calling balls and strikes. So I don't think the out calls.
But are they not going to have an ump at all? Are they like?
Well, I think they're going to have umps on the field too, and you'll get your crew chief there, whatever. There just won't be an ump behind the plate.
Oh, so, but that's what I'm getting at. Like, I wonder if they would still have the ump behind the plate, but they would just have the technology running and they would just kind of like balance it out.
What would he do?
Still call it, but they would also have, like, what I'm saying is everything goes as normal, but what they're also doing is they have the technology running and they compare it. And then they'll have that's what they would want. They'd have a comparison of, I guess they're already kind of doing that.
They've done that before. So,
yeah.
And some of the, who was it that went and bashed it in? Was it Schilling when they started doing that, when they started tracking balls and strikes whatever?
Yeah, Schilling hated that.
Right. He bashed in a whole year's salary of someone. It was just a mere 120 grand. So, yeah.
Peasant's money.
Yeah, Schilling. I think what they're doing is it's just going to be this thing calling balls and strikes, and then you'll have the umps for, you know, the calls at the plates and the bases, and then down the line, those kind of calls. Until they put the chip in the ball and, the sensors down the line so we can know if it's fair or foul and all that kind of stuff.
See,
so
that's the type of stuff we should have. Like, you have like the ball cam. You know what I mean? Like I don't know how you would possibly do it, but you have the technology where the ball's flying out. How cool would that be to be following a baseball as it leaves the stadium?
Yeah.
It goes into the crowd and people are punching each other for a baseball.
Yeah. I mean, it's never going to happen because how would that change the weight of the ball? And then,
you might be able to tell
what pitch is coming better because of that camera.
You don't like roaches, huh? You don't like roaches. You know that they got little tiny cameras in bees and bugs everywhere. They're spying on us.
Did he actually say that?
Everything in my joking, probably unfunny stuff I've said is 90% of what came out of that interview. He absolutely said, he's like, they got bugs. They got cameras. In the 1960s, they put it in the caterpillars. They put these bugs in here. They are tracking you. And you don't think that they got little tiny cameras in half the insects in the world? They keep telling us about the bee populations going out. They got cameras in those bees. That's why they're going out, is because they are reprogramming them. He didn't say that. But
I just got to the part where Eddie Bravo shows up.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Bravo. Gaslighting. Gaslighting is what's going on.
Oh, gaslighting and then flat earthing, too.
Yeah. But I'm saying is like that's whether they can do it or not. That's the stuff that we would want more from baseball. It took last year where they started having those like cameras in the All-Star games that are on the field and they're miking up players so players can be talking in the innings. They need more of that type of stuff. There's still, some people are going to look at it as innovation that they're going to replace the umps, but I'm not, they're only doing it because it's a problem, not because it makes the game better. You know what I mean? Like the other stuff, it just makes the game better. It's not a necessity. You don't need a necessity for all that stuff. The umps, they do because how many days do we go by where we're like, well, this umpire completely made the game about himself. He tossed this guy in the fifth. Toss this pitcher who then inevitably they brought a reliever in, blew the game up. They had a bad call, which changed the trajectory of the game.
Well, the devil's advocate to that would be, is that part of the game?
That has
been part of the game since they started it. I mean, remember, Babe Ruth punching umpires and stuff. So,
video of that anywhere?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. I have no idea. If he was doing that now, he'd be kicked out of the league forever. And that's another thing. Like, what if someone Curt Schilling's the robot umpire? Does that team just forfeit the game?
What do you mean?
Is that it? Like, what if someone's pissed off about the calls and they go and they take a bat to the robot part of the whatever?
Right.
That'd Does it great. Have a Pope mobile around it or something?
They probably have a backup.
What is protecting it?
They're going to have a backup.
But those things got to cost thousands. Like, seriously, probably $100,000.
Oh,
a piece.
Probably. Well, I mean, players are going to know how much they cost. But each team
how
is
long
probably
until Bryce Harper bashes one in because he doesn't like the strike zone or whatever.
Well, they're going to. I mean, these guys pay these $25,000 fines. When it starts becoming $100,000, they're going to think twice about it. But I would imagine they would have like one or two of these guys in each stadium. You can't just have one if it goes down the whole. Or they would just have an ump on standby and they would just bring him in. which would be weird and would change the whole game as well. It seems like all like a bad idea. Let's go all or nothing. I'm glad they're trying it though. Independent league. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. And this says that, I didn't catch this in the article. This is kind of like in the government when they try to slip something into a bill. It says MLB is expected to experiment with moving the mound back from its typical placement of 60 feet, 6 inches also.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Probably, better. It's better for the hitter. So if the ball's coming in slower, you get extra.
I mean, that's insane
to me. Second to hit.
What's weird is they try some of this stuff at the Arizona Fall League. They started the pitch clock in the Fall League 2 years ago. Something they were doing, I don't know if it was in the Fall League this round, but I've already seen in spring training. It might have been the Fall League. But they've already started up this, like, if you hold up the clock, there's a 20-second clock that they're already issuing, like, walks to players if they automatically hold up. Like, they're being really aggressive on pace of
play.
It's
a ball, right? You go over the 20-second clock, that's a ball.
Yeah, something like, the pace of play has been, like, a really, really big issue for them. And that's I think innovation.
Well, people are tired of, 3 hour games every single day. What I think they should do with the pitch clock is like you put it in, you have like a 5 year plan and it's don't die, but you put it in a rookie ball. Maybe it's a 6 year plan. How many leagues are there? The Welsh, are there six? You got rookie, short A.
Well, I mean, dude, some have two rookie. Are there 15? There's half season A, full season A, advanced A, double, triple. I mean,
for the six league. So make it a 6 year plan. You start with it in rookie ball. So all the pitchers going into rookie ball have it. Then you put it in.
I see what you're doing. You're building.
So you
it
have
up.
1 year for every single level. So that by the time those guys, it's 6 years. Maybe it's going to drive some of the old guys nuts that have been in the league forever. But it's Harper. 6 years, and now it's in there.
Yeah, no, I get it. That's actually a smart idea. You start at rookie ball, and you just keep adding on year by year. It's fine. I think it's an interesting topic, I suppose, with the robot umps, and there'll be a lot of conversation built around it. They'll probably try it in the Arizona Fall League later this year. We'll see what the success
robot
is.
Robot umps. Let's
do it. I'm fine with it. All right. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, TGFBI. We're going to talk about our teams and talk about where Kershaw fell. So don't go anywhere. More in this league.
Kershaw.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. Welcome back. In this league on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And In This League can be found over on Amazon. 99 fantasy baseball player debates. 3 judges for every debate. It's a boxing-style format book, which is paperback, Kindle, and the PDF over at InThisLeague.com. Judged by some of the best guys in the industry, 20-plus judges, 3 per debate. Bogman and I, we wrote up the debate. Last year's stats are on the guys. It's formatted pretty cool. The paperback, I was very happy with. It looks really, really nice. But however you want to consume media, we've got the PDF, the Kindle, or a paperback book. Go over on Amazon, just search 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, or go to InThisLeague.com.
I can't believe how good the paperback was, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, we get nervous about that stuff.
Yeah. And you were like, hey, it actually looks pretty good. And that coming from the Welsh means it's awesome.
Yeah.
When he's like, yeah, it looks fine. That means it's really good. So when I saw it, I was like, wow, this is really good. I was surprised how great it looks.
It was a new venture. We didn't do a paperback last year and we decided to do it this year. And it worked out. So major questions if another version of the book will happen again. It kind of all really it resides on what happens here in March. With the sales of it. And if we ever do a football version, all of it is a possibility. But we had fun with it. It came out pretty good. And we'd appreciate your support if you want to check it out. It's a good little read. Get a little physical paper in your hand. It's not paper.
Yeah.
It's
like I always like reading any kind of fantasy magazine or book or whatever on the crapper. One of my favorite pastimes.
That is your favorite reading thing. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, how much have... do you think... like magazines were killed, not just because of disinterest in magazines, but because people don't read magazines on the crapper anymore.
Yeah, I mean, people are just on their phone on the dumper.
Yeah, who cares about that? Like, the only place I see magazines anymore is if you go to a doctor or a dentist. They're single-handedly keeping the magazine industry in. Like, who has any subscription to any of that? How is Sports Illustrated still around?
Well, because of online subscriptions.
Because of the body issue.
Yeah, maybe. You mean the swimsuit edition?
Well, body issue. Edition. Yeah, I forgot they do swimsuit, too.
Body is ESPN. ESPN has the body edition.
I thought it was, oh yeah. Who cares about
Sports Illustrated does the.
I mean, Instagram blows away anything you would ever see on.
I have a hard time going on Instagram during the day. Like, I just lose all my concentration in anything else I'm doing.
It's difficult.
I'm like, who cares about the sports stuff? Look at this chick. Look at Erica Fett.
Erica Fett's a good one. Yeah. That's a very, very.
And I know everyone's heard of Erica Fett because she has like 9 million followers and they're all listening.
It's actually really
weird. You
guys
are all listening.
This is a little bit of an alter thing. So I've got the Prospect Show, Prospect One, and I've been doing this team series for like a month. It's way too long. It needs to end. What a horrible idea I had. I mean, I think people are digging it. I've heard a lot of good stuff about it, and it's pushed me a bit because I got some new interviews. And I've interviewed, there were interviews from the Arizona Fall League, guys like Taylor Trammell. Bobby Dalbec hit the technical first home run of baseball season in spring training. You know, some good interviews, Keston Hira. But then when I started to do these, I reached out to a few baseball players, prospects, and I got Twins top prospect Alex Kirilloff, and then a couple really young international players, Christian Robinson with the Diamondbacks and George Valera with the Indians. Deep dynasty prospect, people know exactly who I'm talking about. These are top 100 prospects. And Christian Robinson, real buddy-buddy with him, and George, too, is fine. I was, like, on the phone with him in the Dominican. But the point is, you get towards the end, and I'm talking about their Twitter, and then I mention, I'm like, yeah, Instagram, too. And then I kind of have this revelation. I'm like, you guys, because they don't do, neither one do much on Twitter. I'm like, is Twitter dead? And Christian was kind of like, yeah, it's about the gram. It's all about Instagram. And I asked Valera, I'm like, what's your Twitter handle? It's like GV underscore. And he goes, honestly, I'm not really sure. And I'm like, you don't even care about it, do you? And he's like, Instagram. He's verified on Instagram. I mean, Twitter is such a us thing. It's from a millennial standpoint, you know, early 20s, it's all about Instagram. People live
is it like how our parents love Facebook?
Exactly. There's a generational gaps. It is like, you know, late 20s to 30s is Instagram. 40s plus is Facebook. And teens into early 20s is Instagram. And these people you're talking about.
It's funny because every young person I know is way more into Instagram, too.
Yeah. So well, and I'm saying, like, a person like Erica Fett, which is so funny, she probably have, like, 200,000 followers on Twitter, but, like, 9 million on Instagram.
Yeah, and I don't know how many she actually has. Again, why don't we take a look?
Let's do Instagram.
Let's go on a field trip. Yeah.
I'll check the, let's see if she even has a, well, here is a Twitter. I don't know if this is an official one, but, yeah, this has to be the official one. She's not verified on Twitter.
Okay. I wonder
if this is going to be better. Twitter doesn't have a...
She's verified on Instagram.
Twitter doesn't have any blocks like Instagram would have.
My neighbors are fighting.
Oh, are they? Put the mic up.
Yeah. Well, no way.
Put the mic up.
I can barely hear. I can't make out what they're saying, but someone is screaming at somebody. They might just be drunk.
Okay. Erica Fett has 215,000 followers on Twitter.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
2.1 million.
That's what I'm saying. She just has it for the sake of having it. Yeah. That's all.
How much money do you think she makes on like a, you know, sponsored tweet or gram?
What was it? Lana Rhodes cried everywhere when her Instagram got turned off because that's her livelihood. The livelihood. It is amazing. Jobs now between YouTube, Twitch, and Instagram. It has created an entirely different workforce that I don't think this country is ready to handle. These people that are handed these jobs by playing video games, uploading videos of unboxing toys and talking about toothbrushes, and these chicks that are boosted up with their boobs not quite showing. It is unbelievable.
To just take a crack at how many, and I love this, Lana Rhodes, it just says public figure.
Oh, I know.
Ambassador for Male Solutions.
She is so embarrassing. I'm going to, let's see, hold on. I'm going to see if I can.
How many, are you looking at Twitter?
I'm trying to find her on Twitter. God knows where she is on Twitter. I'm pretty sure she's got like 5 million on,
3.3.
It's unreal.
Hold, I think I might be able to hear now. Hold on. Oh, someone is upset. Maybe it's the same woman who was mad at me the other day.
Can you put the mic
up? I asked her to turn the mute. I can't because my windows are all closed. It's going to look weird.
Ooh, if you open up the window, will we hear better?
No, I don't. Well, maybe. Hold on.
This is great radio here. All right. Hold on.
It's gone now. And tires are squealing. So that's probably her. Ooh.
That would have been, that'd have been a good Instagram story.
Probably that same woman that got mad at me when I told her to turn her music down at 3 a.m. the other night.
I bet Erica Fett would have been interested in your Instagram story had you had that.
Probably not.
We should probably do more Instagram.
Yeah. Probably a little bit more.
Go back to taking pictures of your food. Now put it on Instagram. That's all it is. It's just Facebook.
All I have is like pictures of Captain.
I mean, and Facebook owns Instagram, by the way. And what they did is they said, what's everybody's favorite thing on Facebook? And they said, oh, taking selfies and taking pictures of their food. And then they said, well, how can we get rid of all the conversation, the things don't people like? And they said, just make a thing that's only pictures so people can take pictures of themselves and their food. And that's what they did. And Facebook owns Instagram. And it saved them. So they've got everybody except the middle. They got the young kids and they got the old people that live on Facebook. When's the last time you logged on to Facebook?
And
the
new priest.
When's the last time you logged on to Facebook? When's the last time you clicked a notification on Facebook?
My birthday.
Yeah.
January 15th.
How embarrassing is that?
When's the last time
you logged on to Twitter, Bogman?
F you.
You got a lot. I know you got notifications because people asked you questions today and they said, Bogman will get back to you.
Yep. Well, I just like, it's funny because I say in the podcast, scottbogman@gmail.com, if you're interested in the Crybaby Roto League, because that's, we only had a couple spots left. It's full now. Don't send me an email.
Yeah.
So, but then I get these people on Twitter like, hey man, any chance I can get in? Well, first of all, you're not doing it right. I said to email me. Sign the treaty, baby. Just email me, baby. And then I'll tell you no. But I just have to make a Twitter post that says there are the.
Gotta go on.
Time for the Crybaby Roto League has closed. Well, it's over.
All right. We've talked enough. I'm going to do some research later on Erica Fett, though. So thank you for. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we talked about that. I feel like if you walk away with anything from this episode today, is make sure you're following Erica Fett. So
yeah.
Someone let her know.
That Jennifer Deku, too. One of my favorites.
Also Jennifer Deku. We're symbiotic here on our. I think I've put you on to a few, too.
Well, you put me on Erica Fett. I think I put you on a Jennifer Deku.
That is 100%. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to pull up the Instagram. Let's see the first one that comes
up. You ever do the Snapchat? Do you even have Snapchat?
Don't. I think I have it, but I haven't been on in 3 years. So.
Ah, okay.
First one up is Miss Veronica Black Bachman.
That's your first one up?
I just said I'm going to go on Instagram and see the first post I get. I highly suggest you check it out.
Mine is Megan Rain.
Veronica Black with a K. So
it goes. This is funny. He goes, Megan Rain, James Harden, South Park.
All right. Let's play that.
Rachel Nichols in the Longhorns.
All right. Top three Instagram posts when you pull it up. Mine is Miss Veronica Black. It's Jennifer Deku. And it's Prake Photography with a picture of Jerickson Profar.
Yeah, I've got Megan Rain, James Harden, second longest 30-point streak in NBA history. And then South Park, it's a clip or it's just a picture of Cartman giving a security camera the finger.
Okay. All right. There we go. So that's what you got. You just got our top three on Instagram. It's like one of those things. It's like, what's the last thing that you typed in? That's the food that you're eating or whatever it is. Like, stupid, idiotic things that I never participate in.
Yeah.
Ever.
To retweet this or you get 10 years of bad luck. Maybe we should start retweeting that stuff.
Take the 12th. That's a good point. Take the 12th contact in your phone and then the 12th street address you lived on, and that's your porn name. I don't know what that would be for mine.
12th street you lived on?
I don't know.
Hopefully you haven't moved 12 times.
I've moved a lot in Arizona.
Well, I mean, I know you have and I have, but hopefully most people have.
All right. Let's rein this in here. Really difficult to rein.
TGFBI teams.
Yep. So the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, our buddy Justin Mason, he put these together. Over 300 people, 21 leagues, I think, of 15, and they might even have a couple little like satellite ones. Pretty much everybody in the industry but Rob Silver is in it.
Jake Seeley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a couple guys we got that are not in it. So we are. I'm in a league with Jason Collette from RotoWire and Sleeper on the Bus. You're in with Eno Saris from The Athletic. Justin Mason is in yours. I think you have Vlad Sedler.
Vlad, Eric Cross. I think, is that Sammy Reed?
God, yours is brutal.
Brutal.
So before we get into the teams, let's talk about what went down with Clayton Kershaw. Now, one interesting note, I'm going to see if I can actually pull this up, was they made kind of a Champions League. And what I thought was, TGFBI.com. What I thought was interesting, and some people didn't like it, it's all the like top guys from last year. They're doing it a little bit more conservative, if you will. And buddy James Anderson from RotoWire was tweeting about this, that Clayton Kershaw fell outside of the top 100.
Oh, my God.
He went, I don't know what pick this is because I can't tell. He went in the sixth round. Right around in the middle. So, I mean, what would that be? 1, 2, 6, that'd be 50, 90. Yeah, so he went around like 115 or 120. Here are the players that went ahead of Clayton Kershaw. Sixth round, 15-man roto. Here, all in the sixth round, here's who went ahead. Ozzy Albies, Eddie Rosario, Michael Conforto, Castellanos, and check this out, Victor Robles.
Who are the pitchers that went just ahead of him?
Okay, good call. Let's wrap around. Do you want relievers or starters?
Starters.
Huge gap, by the way. So,
okay.
Barrios was at the beginning of the fifth round. Second pick in the fifth round, Barrios went. Before Barrios, huge run. In the fourth round, Granky, Corbin, Clevinger. I'm going backwards. Granky, Corbin, Clevinger. No, I'm going in the right direction. Granky, Corbin, Clevinger, Paxton, Strasburg, Tyon, Flaherty, and Jermaine Marquez all went in the fourth round. Barrios is the second pick in the fifth round. No starting pitcher until Kershaw with the sixth pick in the sixth round. That's how long. And there were three closers that went in between there. Everybody was avoiding Clayton Kershaw. The guy that got him, interestingly, took Chris Sale number one in the first round. So he took Chris Sale, no starting pitchers.
That could really work out for him.
That could.
So, that could also really not work out for him.
Yeah, it could be difficult. So that's what happened in that league. In the league that I was in, I had said on the Fantasy Black Book that I very likely might own Clayton Kershaw because I have the wheel. I'm drafting from the wheel, so 15 and 16, and then whatever, you know, that is in the third and fourth. And I thought, you know, I hadn't taken a pitcher. I wasn't going to take a pitcher until I got to the third, fourth wheel. That Clayton Kershaw might be the guy. I passed. I ended up passing on him, and he ended up going with the sixth pick in the fourth round on mine. So that would be, what is that, 45, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, what was that, 51? 51 that overall.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, that's where he went in mine. And this was in the midst of the bad throwing thing.
Okay. Yeah, he went 34th overall in mine.
Oh, so
the fourth pick in the third round.
And these started, I think, on Sunday. So that person may not have gotten the bad throwing news on Monday.
Yeah, maybe not. We did move pretty quick, especially early. So I think we might have got,
I'm pretty
got
sure,
to round three.
Dude, I'm pretty sure it didn't Sunday. Because I know I was coming up and then that news came down that he had a bad session. He didn't feel good. And like he was going to throw, I waited and then he threw and he didn't feel good. And then I passed. So I kind of went through that. So he probably picked before, but it continues.
He's the 11th starting pitcher gone. So
he was the 11th.
11th. Yeah.
So on mine, he was 17th.
Yeah. 11. I just double checked, but. Yeah, 11 on mine. He went after Patrick Corbin and Garrett Cole and before Syndergaard, Carrasco, Buehler, Bauer, Barrios.
And we told you, like, the swings. So he became the 25th on NFBC prior to the good couple sessions that he threw. And then what did I say earlier? I think he was 17 or 18th now. Just on Friday. He's a 17th pitcher after he had a couple good sessions. So he is the most volatile player in fantasy. I should have checked.
Where did Bumgarner go in yours? Because Bumgarner only has one inning pitch so far. He's got a 54 ERA in spring.
Giving up bombs.
He hasn't looked great. So
he went
I'll look too.
With the fourth to last pick in the eighth round in a 15 man.
Where'd he go in mine?
I just kept passing him. No interest. Fourth to last pick, so.
In which round?
Eighth.
He went in the middle of the fifth.
Oh, was it the same guy that took Kershaw?
No, it was Eric Cross. So he was, what would that be? 60, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 68.
68? Ooh, oh, man. I mean, would you say fifth round?
One pick away from being nice.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's a three-round difference here that he went. So I think that's interesting. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Carlos Martinez because that's another really interesting one. We've got to talk about the catcher that got hurt, and then we'll just kind of go through our teams and see what's gone down. We're both, I think, in the, I don't know, we're in like the 16th or 17th round. We're pretty far
I'm
through
in the
here.
20th.
Yeah, more than halfway through. So don't go anywhere. More Bogman of the Welsh in this league coming up for the final segment.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is in the...
In this league.
In the dark.
That's right, friends. Check out Erica Fed's Instagram in the dark, right?
At night? Right.
Alone, though.
Alone?
Yeah. Make sure
with it's... Loop?
Hey, what? Hey.
Oh.
A little too far there. A little too far there, Bob. A little racy.
Just got to do it right. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. That's what I say the Welsh.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, really, life is short. Do we
have
time?
It's looking at Instagram or drafting a team.
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Anything worth doing is worth doing right.
I mean, I got to tell you, I'm going to have a bad year because I feel pretty solid about my team. And that's usually the indicator. Whenever I feel like I'm doing pretty good, I've had some stuff fall my way, but I've also taken some risks. So much so, Box. Let's talk about Carlos Martinez for a minute. Carlos Martinez, he's a little bit in a bad way. One of my favorite picks coming into this year, loved post 100. You know, this is a potential ace on a team. It's the type of stuff. I mean, it's like a Severino type of thing. Getting a guy like a Severino with the Cardinals, with all that offensive help, and I mean, you get a gold glove first baseman in there. It was all going in the right direction. Then things start to fall apart. He was in a sling, but they did say it was because some of the testing. It's kind of a common procedure. He was pretty non-concerned about it. I told the story where he was like having a white Lamborghini brought down as he was there, and he's like, "I'm a starter. Don't worry about it." Like it wasn't phasing him whatsoever what was going on. But what happened though is he has had a major fall in draft stock because he was in a sling. And the beginning of the season is a little bit in question now. I drafted Carlos Martinez because I pushed my rotation a bit. I didn't draft my first pitcher till the sixth round in a 15-man roto. But here's my team.
Oh, man.
Here's my pitching.
Sixth round?
Well, I mean, that's heavy. That's pretty heavy.
I didn't draft my first starter till the eighth.
Actually, you know what? I did in the fifth. Fifth round. I took Jose Barrios. Well, you took closers, though. You did back-to-back closers.
Yeah, so. I did.
In the fifth round, I took Jose Barrios, and then I swung around and took David Price. So I double-tapped those two.
Love that.
Then in the 11th round, I took Yu Darvish, which I was happy
about.
Love
that.
Then in the...
Do I get any credit for talking you into that?
Oh, no. I mean, he's who I wanted, but I mean, you gave that confirmation. Like, as soon as I read off some of the guys, Darvish was the top of my list. You were like, well, you have to take Darvish no matter what. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. In the 13th round, the last pick in the 13th round, I took Carlos Martinez. That is a fall, dude. Remember, 15 rounds. 10 rounds represents 150. If I remember correctly, I got him at 196.
Well, middle of the 11th in my round, in my draft.
So this guy was going around 100 and what was, I don't remember what his ADP was. It was around like 110, 115, and he's dropping to almost the 200s. And I, like, he's a risk man. if it got bad and he were to need a surgery, he's out for the year. He's done. He's absolutely
just listen.
Gone.
I want you to hear how risky Eric Cross's rotation is, because I think mine's risky, and it is, and I'll give it to you in a second. But I just looking at Carlos Martinez, and Cross took Carlos Martinez like he took Bumgarner. So he's got Bumgarner, German Marquez, Hader, Chris Archer, Carlos Martinez, Kyle Freeland, Aroitis Vizcaino, and Tuki Toussaint.
I mean, that's a risky rotation.
Jenga.
That is quite a rotation.
Woof.
So,
it could all work out.
But see,
none of it could work out.
Like, I'm a huge Carlos Martinez guy. The injury is a major problem. They've tinkered around with this relief type of thing that's gone around. Ultimately, though, I'm chalking this one up to the discount. And more so than anything else, I didn't get top end guys. I didn't go get a Sale or a DeGrom or a Nola or anything like that. But and we talked about it on the Black Book. Justin Mason joined us. And we kind of talked about, like, he liked the two number twos, and that's what I did with Barrios and Price. I'm risking it with injuries with Darvish and Martinez, but because of what I've done with my pitching staff and not had the dominant stuff, and I'm picking up some later names, it was more than worth the risk for me. More than worth the risk in a 196 to take Carlos Martinez, because if he pays off, he's a guy that Darvish and Martinez have the high-end potential for the season to perform as SP2s on your team. That would give me four SP2s, but it's super risky. But I think at that cost, Martinez, who cares at that cost? Are we really missing out because I didn't take Ryu instead of Martinez? Like, give me a break.
Why do you sound so hateful?
I'm just like, what are we talking
about
here?
Look, I took Josh James in the 12th round. So, but I think, just from what we've been discussing, way more pitchers win in my draft than win in your draft.
It was a strategy. I mean, you'd probably take back that Josh James one if you.
Oh
were,
well,
if,
yeah, because I took it at I took Josh James at 2 a.m. and then I wake up at 9:45, and Josh James has a
he's out of the rotation.
Quad injury, and he's out of the rotation. So, come on, man, give me a little warning. But so my pitching staff, the Welsh, is I've got Diaz and Chapman, like you mentioned, are with closers early. Edwin Diaz and Aroldis Chapman, if people were
It's just like how you said that. You were like, Diaz and Chapman. It was like, who is Diaz Chapman?
Diaz Chapman. Yeah. Is that what I said?
It just like you rolled it so quick together.
And then my starters so far, because I didn't take any other relievers. Well, so I thought until I got Josh James. Masahiro Tanaka in the 8th.
Like
Darvish that. In the 10th. Cole Hamels in the 11th. Josh James in the 12th. Alex Reyes in the 14th. Alex Wood in the 15th or 16th, then Luke Weaver and Chris Paddock. So I am taking risky risks, the Welsh.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, see, with spring training, what I do love, and I think everybody, like, I feel like we focus so much on everybody wants to say, like, spring training stats, don't believe them, blah, blah, blah. But I say, understand what's going on. Embrace it. Embrace those stuff. Because guess what? You're going to exploit it to your benefit. Like by people taking those guys and really good players passing, you're also going to be able to exploit it on the overreaction. I'm not saying Carlos Martinez isn't an overreaction. Dude, we could wake up tomorrow and it could be Carlos Martinez is going under the knife and he's going to be out for the 2019 season. Boom, he's done. Well, at the same time, though, you know, this minor, same with Clayton Kershaw, to be frank, these minor things we could look back on in 2 months and be like, isn't it silly that this thing altered them so much? These are the things we go through. You got to take those calculated risks. I would say the trajectory of the last couple of years that, it works out less in the favor of the person that takes the benefit when there's these type of injuries. But with pitching, especially if you're going to wait a little bit, or frankly, even if you have some top ones, I think Kershaw does worry me a little bit. I am shying away, but if I start getting him around 100 or 80, I'm jumping all over it. If I get Martinez around 200, I'm jumping all over it every single time with those guys, because what's the cost that it's killing me? Why am I getting killed at that point if they do bomb out? The risk reward is so immense.
Yeah, I mean, that's and I think we both are doing that because our offenses are really good.
Yeah.
So
what's your
break down your offense?
Okay, my offense. All right. So yeah, I started, I've talked a little bit about this, but I started the draft.
You saved the best for last.
So oh, okay. Well, not according to Mason. Okay. I started at 15. I took Jose Altuve. I got sniped on Goldschmidt, which hurt. I took Altuve and Judge. So a rebound of Altuve, 2020 would be great. High runs and RBIs and high average. Solid. I turn around with Aaron Judge. You obviously know what I'm doing there. Come back around in the third round. I had some hopes of, a few guys. I mean, I really wanted Starling Marte to drop. He went like four picks before. Hoskins went right before me. So then I looked around. I thought about Carlos Correa really hard because he was available. But what I decided to do was build a strategy of power. And I went with Cody Bellinger, who qualifies at first in outfield, and Chris Davis. Crush.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
So power, power, power with speed. Average is in question. And ultimately, I may have sacrificed some average on the year. So then I told you I went Barrios Price, the last pick in the seventh round, which was like 130 something or one, whatever it was. I took Craig Kimbrell because he was still out there. And I mean, we're talking Roberto Ozuna went, Sean Doolittle went, Brad Hand went. I got Kimbrell after all those guys because he doesn't have a job. And then I took Matt Chapman, who I absolutely love, followed him up with Muncy in the ninth. I took Byron Buxton in the 10th. I took Yoan Moncada in the 12th, Austin Meadows in the 14th, Willie Adames in the 15th. And then I've gone pitching the last three rounds. Where I'm in the 18th round. I took Jimmy Nelson in the 16th, Jesus Luzardo in the 17th, and Brad Boxberger for save. So it's a two-catcher league. I don't have catchers, and I'm missing a corner infield. But my offense is stacked.
So I love what you did with your offense. What would you – like, what's your confidence level? 15-man league, remember. Maybe look at some of the other offenses around your league. How confident are you?
In my offense?
Yes.
I'm pretty good. Like, I'll look at Colette here. Colette's got a pretty strong team. His offense is, he's got Tyler White at first, Whit Merrifield at second, Segura at short, Miguel Andujar at third. He's got Snow in corner, Cano in middle, and then his outfield is Benintendi, Pham, Mazzara, and Renfroe, and looks like no utility. And he's got Max Scherzer as his starter, but that's his best starter. So, I mean,
he doesn't have any catchers either then, right?
No, he has Jorge Alfaro.
Oh, Alfaro.
That's all he has.
Okay.
So I look at that and I think, I mean, I'm going to take power here. Speed, I mean, he's going to take speed because he's got Witt, Segura, and Benintendi, and Pham. That works in his favor. My speed guys, I'm banking, and it's a risk. And I took risks later in the draft. Buxton, Moncada, I'm banking on speed. I have Altuve, Bellinger's a tiny bit. I probably need to go one more in somewhere here. But speed and average, I think, are my biggest questions. And I got to stack up some saves. So, I mean, I feel good. I can look at one more. I'll look at Lance Brozdowski. His offense is Gallo, Scope, Ahmed Rosario, Devers, Kron, Simeon. His outfield is dumb. Trout, Soto, Puig, and Robles.
Yeah, because I was like, and then you got to the outfield.
And his pitcher, he's pretty good pitching. Bauer, Archer, Glasnow, and then he's got Givens, Will Smith, and Edwin Diaz. So, I mean, that's decent balance. He's not going to win average. Stolen bases are going to be in question. I mean, he's got Robles and Puig and Trout, which are good, but there's none on. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think I stack up with two of the better teams in there, but I feel like from an offensive perspective, I'm up. And this is an all or nothing team. So you take my solid pitching with two guys that I got plus 10 rounds of Darvish and Martinez, if they pay off, I'm happy with the risk in an all or nothing league. And that's why I formatted it differently. Now, what did you do?
Well, for me in the first round, I picked 9. So you were actually on the wheel.
I was on the wheel.
I was in the middle because I didn't understand KDS system and didn't mess with it. So I got stuck right in the middle. Pick number 9. I missed out on Yelich and Acuna by one pick, but I went with Trey Turner. So I got my speed. I'm not excited about Trey Turner. I know the people behind me were pissed that I took him because they wanted him, but I got him. So Trey Turner. But then I followed that up because Paul Goldschmidt fell all the way back to me.
That one pisses me off. I mean, I wanted to go Altuve and Goldie really bad, and he went one pick before me, and he falls all the way freaking back to you.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, Machado, Story, Harper, Judge, Freeman all went ahead of him. So I guess it makes sense. We just had a lot of pitching. We had 4 starters go in the first round. Did you have 4?
Let me look here.
So we had Scherzer, Sale, DeGrom, Verlander, and then Cole before.
We only had three, because I actually wanted Sale to drop, but I had Scherzer, Sale, and then DeGrom. So by the 11th pick, pitchers were done. The next pitcher went fourth pick in the second round, and it was Nola.
Okay. And then coming back in the third round, I wanted either Carrasco or Syndergaard to fall to me. They didn't. So I took Whit Merrifield, and I love that pick.
Yeah, I love that pick too.
And so now I got stolen bases pretty much locked up with Turner and Merrifield. Not many people are going to beat me in stolen bases at this point. I mean, I'm sure there's people that can piece them together later in the draft, but I'm sitting pretty there. So coming back in the fourth round, I want Corbin to fall to me. Of course, he goes at the wheel, so I'm not getting him. Then I think maybe Clevinger. Clevinger goes three picks ahead of me. And then Strasburg went right ahead of me. I wouldn't have taken Strasburg, but I might have considered him in a roto, because it doesn't matter when he when he misses his games, as long as he throws me 160, 175 innings. But he went one pick ahead of me. I don't know if I was considering that much anyway, but I went with Eugenio Suarez.
I love the idea of you getting sniped on Strasburg.
It wasn't really sniped, but I'm kind of getting desperate for a starter. So when we're coming back, I'm like, well, if Greinke falls to me, that's what I'll do. Greinke, of course, went on the other end of the wheel. Then Flaherty went. I considered him a little bit. I wasn't really considering Bumgarner. So I just said, screw this. I'm going to start the catcher run or the closer run. So I went with Diaz, and then I came back with Chapman. I told you guys that. And then I got Jesus Aguilar in the seventh, adding on to my power. So I got Aguilar, Suarez, and Goldie for power. Then I took another pitcher in Tanaka, and then I went David Peralta in the ninth, tripled up on pitchers in the mid rounds. Then Brandon Nimmo in the 14th, one of my favorites leading off for the Mets with their improved offense. Then Max Kepler in the 15th, adding some more power. And then this was the one that pissed me off the most, and I told you this today, the Welsh. Chris Paddock I took in the 18th. And I'm not pissed that I took Chris Paddock. I'm glad I took him. I know he's going to get a decent amount of time in that Padres starting rotation this year. But I was hoping that, the stack of guys that all went, one of them will fall back to me. And Mancini, Pilar,
you wanted the corner infield guys.
Yeah, Seager, Cron, one of those guys would fall back to me. And I took Brian Anderson because I do like Brian Anderson.
God, that a lot of people so on brand with you.
I love Brian Anderson. So I took him, and that is my offense. So
what grade yourself out? How do you feel comparatively? You're in a rough league with a bunch of guys. I mean, what I don't mind, and Mason wasn't as big on, but countering comparatively to the league, like there's some stuff that went higher in yours, some stuff that went lower, but when you kind of, you didn't bomb out on pitching, but like you were put in a spot where it was like, do you really want to reach? You just pivoted, and you pivoted to a different strategy for taking those closers to kind of try to dominate that. I mean, you probably could use one more closer to help, really stick it in there. Phrasing, if I don't know who's out there, but like a Boxberger or something like that, that would work out. But I think we're both in pretty decent spots. These are tough. What you can do though is you can go and check out, I think they've got these live boards over at TGFBI. You can check out the leagues. Bogman is in League 8, pick 9, and I'm in League 7, pick 15. So you can kind of see what's going on across the leagues. Check them out. And it's good stuff, and we're like halfway through. You're a little bit more than halfway. I'm just at the halfway marker here. But this is draft season.
Rob Silver an update.
Yeah, you got to give Rob Silver an update. Yeah, my Twitter, too. I've been tweeting out the picks, so you can go check that out. And we got a bunch of drafts coming up this week, slow drafts. So I would remind everybody, if you need your fix, here's the deal. We did Hell Week positional rank episodes 5 straight this week or last week. We just had upcoming. We have got a couple new episodes. We're also going to be doing a ton of drafts. And on Patreon, we have got our secret show that's going to be coming up, the uncensored mock draft. And then we're just going to be doing the rest of draft prep. Bogman and I are going to be out at games. We're out here in Arizona, so we get to see these guys. We'll be reporting on stuff like I reported a while back about Senzel getting the center field potential spot. So we got your back. Hopefully you got ours. Go check out the book on Amazon, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. Come check us out over on Patreon. That's a show, man. We're out of here. They're trying the human Bogman Welsh hybrids within this league. They can't take it no more because they're trying to drain the blood. Oh, they're out of here.